Okay, so first of all, I want to thank all of you for coming to the Shiurim. I found the summer to be enjoyable. I found that I really had to prepare Shiurim because you kept me on my toes. And I encourage everyone to just keep on learning Torah. Torah is really good, it's really important. There are not enough places for women to learn Torah in a high level. So we very much appreciate Benot Sinai. That's like seven thumbs up. But the basic idea is that I think it's been a meaningful, wonderful, productive summer. And let's go on. Last year that we're talking about, the Chevra voted to learn about lying. Is it permitted to lie? Is it not permitted to lie? We got into this conversation last time to a certain extent, because we spoke about the famous Gemara in Ksubos about Ketzer Merakin Lefnei HaKala, the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, about what should you recite, what should you say when you're dancing in the presence of the Kala. Do you say Kala Kamo Shehi? That's Beis Shammai's opinion, right? You call it as it is. And Beis Hillel says you say Kala No'er V'Chasuda, which is actually the way the song goes at all weddings. Because we pass like Beis Hillel. So that is one of the major sources in terms of lying. But let's take a step back or five steps back. Is it good to lie or is it bad to lie?
Bad.
Huh? Bad. Okay, that's the right answer. Lying is bad. Right? Lying is very bad. In philosophy, the opinion of Immanuel Kant is that it's better to die than to lie. Like, lying is something that undermines the very fabric of society. The reason why I cross a street at a red light is because I trust that people are going to stop at the red light. If everyone is telling a lie and no one is keeping rules and there's no basis to trust anybody, society is undermined. So you can understand why lying is a very serious problem. Yes.
How is that long to not listen?
So let's give another case. Have to be creative now. But there are cases where lying, if I see someone is about to take an item and I don't want the person to take it, right? So, am I allowed to say that the item is poisonous or something? Right? So, that's a lie. It's not poisonous, right? I can create like many, many cases. The point is that Kant feels that lying is really bad. It's Yehari Val Yavar to a certain extent. That's his argument. In the Jewish tradition, is lying good or bad?
Bad.
Bad. How do you know?
Midbar Sheker Tirchak.
So Midrash HaKetir Chak, we'll talk about in a few minutes, that might not mean do not tell a white lie, right? But is lying good or bad? So you have to, yes,
Depends how it's
depends how it's used. Okay, so that's already, you're moving ahead towards the end of this year. I think one of the Piagetian stages in development involves asking kids what exactly a lie is.
really.
And I think as people get older, they begin to think that things are inherently wrong rather than just hurting someone. But we'll develop this a little bit later. But there are psukim in Tanakh, right? There are psukim in Ksuvim, specifically that talk about lying as being really bad. If you look in Sefer Tehillim, in Perek Kuf Aleph. So in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Aleph, there is a pasuk that says, there is a pasuk that says, Lo yeshev bekerav beisi osei remiyah, dover shgarim lo yikon leneged einai. That it's like the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, I do not want someone who does deceit, who does trickery in my home. Dover shkarim lo yikum neged einai. I don't want to see someone who tells falsehoods. Now, what? It is Tehillim Perakuf Aleph. It's Pasuk Zayin. Right? You have Psukim in Mishlei in Perak Vav. You have Psukim also that say some very negative things about lying. Right? Perak Vav Pasuk Tet Zayin in Mishlei. Sheish Heina Sanei Hashem. God hates six things. Of those six things, they include Einayim Ramot, Lashon Shaker. Right? If you're haughty, and if you speak falsehood. So certainly there are significant Musar violations about lying. So far, so good. But I have a problem. Does anyone in Tanakh lie? Yes. Let's go. Examples. Rivka lies. What? Rivka / Yaakov. In other words, story, once upon a time. Okay, I mean, right. Rivka / Yaakov. In other words, Rivka encourages Yaakov to lie and to steal the Bechora, as it were. That doesn't sound very good. Who else lies in Tanakh? Hashem.
Yeah.
That's really bad. Where does God lie?
Oh, yeah.
Right, Sarah and Avram, we're going to talk about that, the change between Adoni Zakein and Ba'ani Zakanti. We'll talk about that. Very beginning of Chumash, in Parashas Lech Lecha, Avram Avinu goes down to, where is it, to Mitzrayim, and he has his wife with him, and he says, oh, by the way, she's my sister. Right? Now, clearly, the Jewish approach is not that lying is Yehareg Vayavar. The Jewish approach is you just go through Tanakh, and lying is something that is... What?
In Navi, there's a lot, but I can't...
In Navi, there's a ton. Yeah. There are a ton of lies. I brought over... I mean, on the train, I was reading an article called Lies by the Prophets and Other Lies in the Hebrew Bible. It's written by a woman, Ya'el Shemesh. It's a journal, Janus, volume 29. And Ya'el Shemesh goes through dozens and dozens of lies in Tanakh. It's not that uncommon, but it is problematic. You teach Chumash, you teach Tanakh, and the kids are, oh my gosh, how did Yaakov Avinu lie? Right? That it doesn't bother us so much as adults. But I think for kids, it's often a very powerful question. So in order to get the answer to this question, so Anna says that there is a biblical source that lying is forbidden, and that is from the Pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim, that the Torah says, Midvar Sheket Tirchak. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, a few things to point out. One, where is this pasuk? I just gave it away. Mishpatim. Right? It's at the beginning of Mishpatim. What is going on at the beginning of Mishpatim? What? Eved Ivri and other
laws for an abiding society.
Other laws
For society.
For society, meaning what I would call laws that happen in the Besdin. Right? That seems to be. It seems to be what's going on. That's one issue. The other issue, does the Torah say, do not lie?
No, midvar sheker.
Midvar sheker tirchak. What does tirchak mean?
Distance yourself.
So is that stronger or weaker than the prohibition?
Weaker.
Weaker, maybe. In other words, the Torah is saying, stay away from it. Or it could be it's...
Don't even get near it.
It could be it's stronger, don't even get near it. In other words, it's telling somebody, listen, not only is it forbidden, but avoid it at all costs. Distance yourself from lying. Yes, Rivka. What's the positive one again?
Could
Shirchak, right. So again, in a practical sort of way, I don't know exactly what the difference would be, but it's formulated in a very different way. Midrash Sheket Shirchak means falsehood should be distanced completely. To say that I should just pursue the truth, it sounds like, you know, let's say there's a football field. You have the 0-yard line, that's around the 100-yard line. So Midrash Sheket Shirchak means if this is Sheker, go all the way to the other end. And Emet Tirdof just means like to move in the direction of the truth, not necessarily to completely avoid it. But whatever it is, the Torah does not say explicitly that you should not lie. There is another pasuk, lo tonu eshet amito, lo tishakaru, v'lo tonenu. There's another pasuk where the Torah says in the context of also a court hearing that you should not lie. In the Torah, it is not abundantly clear that there is a prohibition of telling a white lie. In fact, right, in the context, we noted the psukim are about Bezdin. The Ibn Ezra, in his commentary on Chumash, writes, Midvar sheker im hadayan yidaber, shelo yodin din sheker. That the Torah is speaking to the judge, and you should not judge a false case. The Ibn Ezra is very clear that the Torah is speaking to a dayan. The next source is a Gemara in Shavuos on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, right? Tana Rabbanan, minayin ledayan, shalai yaseh sanegoran ledvar. What's sanegoran?
Prosecutor.
Well, the kategor is the
defense.
The defense, right? Okay. I shouldn't make a defense where I said, let's say I give a wrong psak. So I say, yeah, by the way, you know, the Ktzai says over here, and the Siva says over here, I can come up with like 1,000 different excuses, right? So the Dayan is not allowed to do that. It says, Midrash Sheket Yerchak. Minayin LeDayan Shal Yeshev Talmud Bor Lefanav. A judge should not have a boor. I sang Tamar earlier. A boor is one of these interesting words that's the same in Hebrew and in English. B-O-O-R. It's a way of saying an idiot. You should not have any students who are idiots, because if you have a student who's an idiot, that student is going to end up distorting halacha. And that would be midvash sheket yerchak, meaning the judge should not have the apprentice judge who is going to distort halacha. A judge who has a friend who knows that he's a gazlan. Right. In other words, there are, by the way, this is sadly, I serve on Dine Torah. Sometimes you get cases from other Batei Din, and it's clear. I had a case, I could tell you, that the documents were drafted up by someone who's officially a Dayan. He drafted up documents in his basement somewhere in Borough Park. The guy could not write Hebrew or English. These documents made absolutely no sense. And we found out as the case is going on, he's drawing up the documents and he's getting a 10% cut on the deal. Right? That's really bad, by the way. Right? That's really, really bad. It was actually a really large deal also. It's like a couple of $100 million, like a real estate deal. And this guy who's drawing up the documents is getting a cut. So if I know that one of the Dayanim is a liar, I'm not supposed to sit on the Din Torah with him. Right? He shouldn't be my partner. If I know that one of the witnesses is a liar, I shouldn't be a witness together with that person. Don't testify with someone who's a liar. Right? So all of these halachos, Midvar Sheket Hirchak, the Gemara I think has 7 of them, all of these refer to a dayan, meaning in the specific pasuk in the Torah, the way it's understood by Chazal and the Gemara in Shavuos, Lamed, Amud Beis, Lamed Alf, Amud Aleph, right? It's talking about a dayan. It does not say that an individual is forbidden to lie. Again, lying is bad. No one is saying that lying is good, right? There are things upon which the world stands, right? Emes is one of them. Lying is bad. But is it forbidden? So it would seem that if you're a Dayan, it's forbidden. For anyone else, it's not forbidden. But there, the Rishonim kind of move in the direction to prohibit lying, at least certain types of lying. What does the Sefer Yireyim say? First of all, who was the Yireyim? When and where did he live? So the Yireyim is Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz. He is one of the major students of Rabbeinu Tam. He is a way, the way Dr. Soloveitchik says it, he's one of the only ways to access Rabbeinu Tam, not through the lens of the Balei HaTaisus. The Yireyim is in Metz. He is, Metz is like France, Germany at that time. It's like border, not so different in culture. And the Yireyim talks about the prohibition of Midvar Sheket Yirchak, which the Yireyim says is a real prohibition, but, right? Meaning it's a real prohibition even for someone who's not a judge. But how does the Yireyim, I'd say, limit that prohibition? Anyone? Again? Doesn't cause damage, nachon. Right? The Yireyim writes, it's in the second line also, that first line going up to the second line, Sheka Shuchal Lidei Chavero, V'tzach Lasei Slei B'zah Inyan Shuchal Lavo Shikro Lidei Hezek. Right? If the lie can come to damage somebody, so it is forbidden. In the part that I underlined, Sheka She'eno Ba Lidei Ra'a, Lo his hira Torah alav, the davar lomig me in yano she b'Russia ra'al abrias hakasim medar the simid v'ashekatirchak v'nakir tzadik al tarik yilatz like Russia,
meaning the pasuk speaks about a Russia, meaning someone who hurts somebody else, and in that context it says don't lie, meaning don't lie in a way that you will hurt somebody else. So far so good. A white lie according to the Yireyim is. Okay, well, there are two ways of understanding it. It could be it's okay biblically, but it's rabbinically forbidden. Or it could be that it is okay entirely. Right? And this is a machlokas, Rabbi Feldman points out in his Sefer, The Right and the Good, is a machlokas between some of the commentaries. And the standard commentary in the bottom of the Yireyim is the Toafos Yireyim. He says that it's forbidden rabbinically. Rabbi Yeruchim Fishel Perlau assumes that it is absolutely permitted to tell a white lie according to the Yireyim. That's the sheet of the Yireyim. It's interesting, by the way, because traditionally, many of the historians understand that the Yireyim is a proto-Chassid Ashkenaz. Right? The Chassid Ashkenaz were like super religious. It's not like they wore strimals or anything, right? But they had all of the chumras, like the Sefer Rokeach, etc. They have lots of chumras. Those are the Hasidei Ashkenaz. Some assume that the Yireyim is like the proto Hasidei Ashkenaz, but it's not abundantly clear. You'd expect that if someone is part of like the Hasidei Ashkenaz school, so that person would say lying is absolutely forbidden, but not like that. Not like that with the Yireyim. Next. Sefer Charedim, right? The Charedim writes that what's the story of lying? Is it mutter to tell a white lie according to the Charedim? Only if what?
Only if it's for good.
Okay, it's so we'll talk about only if it's for good. There's a dispensation that we'll have later on in the Shir called mutter l'shanos b'nei ha'shalom. But the Yireyim writes that you have to tell the truth, afilu b'mili da'alma, even if it's just telling stories. Even if there's no money involved, etc. Chazal say, if you're meshaker, if you lie, it's like Ovid Avodah Zarah, right? And we learn that from Psukim. Lasim shalom mutar u'mitzvah nami ika, like we say in the sixth parak of Yevamos. Right? So you're not allowed to lie at all unless there is a good purpose. And by good purpose, he defines it just to make peace. We'll have to focus on that towards the end of the shiur. Is it permitted to lie for any good purpose, or is it permitted to lie only to make peace? We'll talk about that as we go on. Next.
He defines it as making peace.
He says making peace is permitted, although it's not clear what he means by that. Let's just talk very briefly, though. If lying is really forbidden, what does the Torah mean when it says tirchak? How come the Torah does not just say don't lie? How come it says stay far away from it? What is being added by saying distance yourself? Yes. Again?
Don't add on or don't be involved.
So don't add on might be a way of saying that even if you exaggerate, right, that would also be forbidden. Maybe tirchak is a way of expanding the prohibition that way. The other thing that you said is what? Don't be part of it. I think that's what you said. There are some who assume that there's a prohibition to listen to lies. Right? Just like by Lashon Hara, there's a prohibition to tell Lashon Hara and to listen. Could be by lying, there's a prohibition to listen to lies. I don't know if this means you should not listen to the nightly news or you should not listen to certain politicians, some of whom I quite despise, but they're running for president again, but you could figure out who that is, but you should not listen to people who are lying. Now you know my politics. Yes.
So can you like make an extra character for yourself that say
so I should make an extra getter for myself? Specifically, you're just saying build up some wall, like avoid.
Make another ruling.
Okay, maybe. Other suggestions? Yeah, Rivka. Don't what? Okay. So don't say something that's true and clear to you, but so don't say something that might be misleading to others. So some of the svarim say, for example, if I see somebody who's down and the person is not my best friend, so I walk over to the person and say, is everything okay? So the initial response a person is going to give is, sure, everything is fine. You're causing that person to lie, right? Because let's be honest, everything is not fine. If everything would be fine, the person wouldn't be sitting in the corner of the room moping. Right? So again, if you happen to be someone who's very skilled at drawing things out, of course, it could be a tremendous mitzvah. But if you know that you're not going to be successful and you're just trying to make yourself look good, right? So that's really not proper, because you're causing lying. There are, yes, Adira?
What about getting from a lie? You lie, or someone else lies.
So I would argue that that type of lie is forbidden even according to the Urayim. Remember, the Urayim limits the prohibition of lying to say that it only applies to something that could damage. If I'm myself benefiting from it, that's a way of potentially damaging others. So tirchak, I'm asking the question, according to those that lying is forbidden, what is added when the Torah says tirchak? That's the way I'm formulating the question. Anna?
I have two questions. According to the Sefer HaReading, I sometimes exaggerate, just kind of for the sake of storytelling and stuff like that, that would be considered like lying? Or would that just be like...
And so I want to talk about exaggeration as we go on. But yeah, one could argue, I think in the back, I forgot to ask your name though. Shani? Charlotte, okay. Everyone will forgive my bad hearing, but what Charlotte was saying also is that maybe tirchak means even exaggerating is a problem.
According to even the Haredim,
it's possible that according to the Haredim, who says you have to tell the truth, he is saying tirchak means more than that. Don't even exaggerate, Tamar.
So I was wondering, what about like this case where you ask if everything's okay, and then they're going to say yes, and you know that you're not particularly skilled. So let's say the person sees that someone actually cares about them, even if they don't want to open up to them. So is that
okay? So then this brings us back to the other question when the Gemara is going to say later on that mutar l'shanos meha shalom. Is it only for shalom, right? Is it in this case? Is it really shalom, right? If a person, maybe it could be that that's considered shalom. We'll have to like flesh all of these things out. But yes, ma'am, I forgot your name. Okay, so that's why I don't know it. So I lied now. I said I forgot. I mean, I just didn't know it. And that was lying in order to make myself look good, which is the first thing that the Gemara says. And yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, continue your thought. So is lying a prohibition midvar shechekir? Assuming it's prohibition, is it only verbal? What about if I write? Right, there's a sefer called Titin Emes LeYaakov, which is basically all the kulos on lying. Right, it's a hysterical sefer. So he talks about, am I allowed to write on my suitcases? It contains glass. When I really just want you to be careful of my suitcase and not like throw it, right? Or let's say I'm someone knocks on the door and I just don't want to deal with the person. Can you instruct the kids to say he's not home?
Yeah.
Right? It's a story in the Gemara. You're talking about the story about Dalma ben Nistin, about Kibbutz Avim?
Yes.
No? Wait, so you're referring to?
The wife was... No, someone came for the wife, and then the husband came to the door, and they lied and said she was in the shower, she wasn't available, and then they ended up having like tragedies within the family that they lied.
Interesting. I'm not familiar with that Gemara.
I just remember it. Does it ring a bell?
Okay. Again, it does ring a bell to me. But yeah. Adira?
A couple of four and they are burning logs. It looks like they have food. Really, they don't. They're kind of like, they're showing up a little bit, okay? They're really lonely. Smoke coming out of their chimney. Looks
good. All right. So that's a Gemara about Avak Lashon Hara. Right, that Gemara is like when, if I say that there's always smoke coming out of the chimney, so people might think that the person is just cooking a lot and is a glutton, right? Even though it might mean something completely different, right? If it could be interpreted in a negative way, that's called avak lashon hara. That's what we would have discussed had we spoken about lashon hara this year, but we're not doing that. So the basic idea is that lying. According to, there are three opinions in the prohibition of lying and whether it exists. Opinion number one is the Ibn Ezra that it only exists in the context of Beis Din, right? The Yerayim says that lying, now in the context of Beis Din, by the way, it's inevitable there's going to be someone who's damaged. The Yerayim is saying whenever someone is going to be damaged, it's forbidden to lie, even if it's not in the context of Beis Din. The Haredim is saying that even if no one is going to be hurt, it's forbidden to lie. Okay, let's go back to our initial question at the beginning of the Zman, as we'll call it. Are moral issues utilitarian or deontological? Right? In other words, if it's utilitarian, so that means I'm supposed to be ethical in order to help you, but the ethics itself is not the value. right? It's about you. It's about helping you. Or in the negative context, it's about hurting you. That's the approach that the Yireyim is taking. The Charedim is taking the approach that no, that the ethical issue of lying, or we'll say for the Charedim, the prohibition of lying, is because it is about me. I am a worse person if I lie. I am bad because I lie. It's not just that I'm bad because I hurt you when I lie. Right? That's the Yireyim. The Charedim is saying lying is what we call deontological, bin adam la'atzmo, etc. Forgot your name. Nicole, yes. Okay, so what you're saying is I'm a bad person because I potentially harm someone. So even if the harm doesn't take effect, but let's say I'm just telling a story. I'm telling my kids, you know, a fairy tale. And I mean, maybe it's forbidden to tell fairy tales. Well, I should be 100% honest, truthful, not say anything that is not true at all. Maybe I'm a worse person for telling fairy tales, or I'm a worse person for embellishing, or I'm, right? Again? Everyone knows fairy tales are fake. Okay. So therefore what? However, one could make a case that even if everyone knows that it's true, or everyone knows that it's false, that doesn't mean that I should do it. Right? It could be that what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us is to be absolutely truthful. Now, I have to admit, being absolutely truthful might be a synonym for being absolutely boring, because we all, you know, embellish, expand, etc., and that makes life a little bit more interesting. But the question, the machlokas between the Yireyim and the Charedim is, even if the prohibition of lying is not limited to a Beis Din, but it could be that the prohibition is because I should not hurt you, and it could be the prohibition is that I should not make myself into a bad person. There's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Avelos. One of the mitzvahs is when someone dies, you should give a eulogy. That's a mitzvah. But last week, actually, I was late for shiur one day because there was a funeral I went to. I gave a eulogy. And you're not supposed to exaggerate when you give eulogies, right? It says in Shulchan Aruch, mitzvah gedola lehaspin ha-hames karo'i, right? It's a mitzvah to give a proper eulogy. Mitzvah so shiyarim kol lomar dvarim ha-mishabrim ha-salev. The mitzvah is to raise your voice, to say stuff that impacts on people. Kedei laharbos b'chiyo lahaskar shvacho. V'osir lahaflig b'shvacho yoser midai. Right, so what do those words mean? Asur lahaflig b'shvacho yoser midai. Don't go overboard. Right? So Shulchan Aruch sounds like a little lying is okay. Just a lot of lying is a problem. So the Taz jumps up and down and he spits wooden nickels. And the Taz says, Kasha, mali sheker mat, mali sheker harbe. The Taz asks, what difference is there if you're lying a lot or you're lying a little bit? So the Taz interprets it as follows. I give a eulogy for someone. I say the person gave tzedakah. It's true, the person gave tzedakah. The person wasn't particularly wealthy, but I know that this person is giving tzedakah. Had the person been really wealthy, he would have given tons of tzedakah. So the Taz says that's what it means that you're allowed to exaggerate a little bit, meaning I take my best guess and I say, oh, had the person, were the person to have more money, the person would certainly have given more tzedakah. So I could give a eulogy and say this person was one of the most generous people. Was the person one of the most generous? No, but we can assume that's where the Taz learns. However, the source of this din, I think we mentioned this in one of the shiurim, the entire end of Shulchan Aruch Yerideya is based on the Ramban and his Sefer Torah HaAdam. The Ramban, how does he present this din of exaggerating, lying a little bit? How does the Ramban present it? Right, Torah HaAdam, right, Shar HaSof Inyan HaHesped. This is the Ramban in the Sefer Torah HaAdam.
Ramban?
The Ramban, Nachman it is. Okay. Right? So the Ramban writes, right? Mishabchen also lefik vodo, vi yoser mikain, kiderecha mishabchen, veloba hafloya yoser midai. What does the Ramban mean with that line? Is it the same as the Taz or different? Adira?
A little bit more. They're like, you could go a little bit more than, like, just the usual way that people would have to be. You don't, like, I didn't like what the Taz Mishachar.
In other words, the Ramban is saying that there's always a little bit of range, right? The halacha is I'm not allowed to overcharge when I sell an item. But if I overcharge a tiny bit, that's within the range of overcharging. No? It's not if it's less than a sixth or something. That's the halacha. So what we're saying now, I think the Ramban is presenting something different than the Taz. The Ramban is saying, and maybe this is what Gilo is referring to, that if it's something that everybody does, it's okay. Kiderech ha-meshabchen. If everybody does it, then it's okay because that's standard. The prohibition of lying is only to go above board. Yes. Can I ask you to speak a little bit louder? In other words, I think what he means is that there's a certain range. A little bit of exaggeration is within that range. If it's too far, it's not. Not within range. Again, the way I like to tell this story is in Yiddish, there is a joke about the Shadchan's apprentice. Okay? So the Shadchan's apprentice is a guy who's trying to learn how to be a Shadchan. So he goes to the professional shadchan and he says, teach me how to be a shadchan. So he says, okay, it's not so hard. Whatever I say, you just say more of. So you say, oh, the young woman, she's attractive. It's like, attractive? She's a model. She's unbelievable. She's like Eve's daughters. Okay, that's good. The shadchan's apprentice is getting it right. So you say, oh, by the way, she's really wealthy. Right? So the apprentice says, really wealthy? She is, I'm telling you, top 10, like Forbes 500. It's like, it's all the way there. Okay, you're getting it right. So then the shadchan who's training the apprentice says, by the way, she has one tiny problem. You know, she has like a very small hunchback, a tiny bit. It says, a kleine hikerel, sie hat a hiker via berg. Right? She has a small hunchback. She has a hunchback the size of a mountain. Right, you exaggerate. Right? So obviously it goes in the wrong direction. But the point is that there's certain things the Ramban is saying which are considered doing too much exaggeration. And that is a problem. There's a certain range that you have. Now, this question as to whether lying is permitted or forbidden. Right. Remember, we have approach number one, the prohibition is only for Beis Din. That could mean that lying is actually permitted. A white lie is okay. The Yireim says that the prohibition of lying is that it damages someone. And the Charedim says that you should always tell the truth. Now let's go to the Gemara in Ksuvos. The Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Ketza Merakdin Lifnei Hakala. So Beis Hillel says, Kala no'eva chasuda, that you say she's a attractive, virtuous Kala. That's what Beis Hillel says. Beis Shammai says, what do you mean? Right? Let's say she's a chigeres or a suma. Let's say she is lame. She's blind. Are you going to say kalanova chasuda? The Torah says midrash shekatirachak. Beis Shammai asks, you're not allowed to lie. That's Beis Shammai's question of Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel responds, yeah, if a guy buys something and you get a bum deal, are you supposed to tell the person, oh, you got a bum deal? Are you supposed to tell the person, yeah, it's okay. You know, you got one of the finest lemons in New York State as your car. Like, unbelievable. Right? I don't know. So Beis Hillel says, obviously, you're supposed to be Yishab Chenu Be'enov. Now, it's unclear exactly how Beis Hillel is answering Beis Shammai's question. Beis Shammai asks, the Torah says, Midrash HaKatirchak. How does Beis Hillel answer this question? So based on what we've learned so far, we could have a few possibilities, no? One possibility is that Beis Hillel says, Midrash HaKatirchak? That's for Beis Din. Right? That's not for you. Next possibility. If I'm the Yireyim, how would I answer the question that Beis Shammai asks, Midrash HaKatirchak?
Not bringing
any bad into the world. It's not hurting anybody, right? It's not hurting anybody. The prohibition of lying is to hurt somebody. This hezek. If I hold like the charedim that there's a real prohibition to lie, so how do I explain Beis Hillel?
It's bringing something good.
Right? It brings shalom. And that is exactly what the Ritva writes. Right? The Ritva writes, Yishabchenu be'enov, oyganenu be'enov, perush, whatever leads to peace is no midrash hakatirchak. Now, the Gemara in Yevamos that we'll talk about on the next page, the Gemara has a discussion about that it's mutar l'shanus mipnei hashalom. Beis Shammai also agrees to that. So why is Beis Shammai arguing with Beis Hillel? Let's go slowly. If Beis Hillel is saying that you say kalanova chasuda because mutter l'shanos mipnei hashalom, because peace is this overriding principle, if that's what Beis Hillel is saying, so why would Beis Shammai disagree? Why would Beis Shammai say that you're not allowed to say kalanova chasuda? You have to say kala kamoshe hi, ziha tahoker hi abarg. Right? You're saying Yiddish when you, because, okay, but why would Beis Shammai not say it? Why Beis Shammai not say Kalanova Chasuda? Higarto Suma. And so there are ways, so the case is, let's say she's blind or she's lame. So Beis Shammai says, how do you say Kalanova Chasuda? So Beis Hillel is going to say it's okay mitnei hashalom. Why does Beis Shammai not say it's okay mitnei hashalom? Why don't you say that it's okay because you're bringing peace? So the answer might be, Chevra, that there is bringing peace when there's strife. And then there is saying something to just make things better. It's possible that when the Gemara says, Mutar l'shanos mipnei hashalom, what that means is when there is a disagreement, there's rancor, there is discord, so then you're allowed to say something that's not true. But just to make the couple happier, who says that's okay? Beis Shammai argues. Beis Shammai is going to say, Mutar l'shanos mipnei hashalom is not is that really applicable? Alternatively, the Gemara says, we could understand that when Beis Hillel says kalanova chasuda, Beis Hillel means that you are saying something which is not really a lie. I'm saying she's virtuous, she's nice. Everybody has certain parts of them that's virtuous and nice. Right, the fact that she's been in federal prison for the last 15 years doesn't mean that she didn't once share, you know, some of her prison rations with, you know, a neighbor. You could be nice and virtuous in federal prison. And the fact that, you know, you're blind, etc. So Beis Hillel says, you know, that's okay. That's kalanova chasuda. So that means, though, that Beis Hillel is allowing you to say something which might be factually correct, but creating a wrong impression. And Shammai says, no, you're not allowed to create a wrong impression. But be it as it may, what we have is the Gemara in Ksubis, which we can explain in light of the three positions that we mentioned earlier about lying in general. One of the questions that Poskim deal with is, are you allowed to lie in the context of Shidduchim? This is a topic that Reb Asher Weiss has a tshuva. Reb Asher Weiss says, you're allowed to lie in the context of Shidduchim. Sometimes you have a person who has like certain arbitrary lines. I won't go out with anyone above the age of, I think, in Seinfeld. So Seinfeld and Elaine had a discussion that when they become old and decrepit, then they would date each other. And they defined old and decrepit over the age of 30. I think that's an episode in Seinfeld. But I wasted so much time in high school, by the way. It's unbelievable. Seinfeld, it's not just a show about nothing.
They say that in the show.
what was I doing? But the point is that sometimes a person has like a line, I won't go out with someone over the age of 30. Are you allowed as the Shadchan like to say, to set up my friend, oh yeah, go out with him, her, right? How old? 29. Right? Are you allowed to do that? It's really not 29. It's really 30 and, you know, 4 months. So Reb Asher Weiss says that if you know the outcome is going to be something that they'll be happy with, you know that, you know, if it clicks, so they'll be like so happy. Wow, you know, it's amazing. It's great. So therefore, you're allowed to kind of fudge it a little bit. That might be true also according to the Ramban, where the Ramban says that truth and falsehood has a certain range. There's a big lie, a small lie, etc. The difference between 29 and 30, quite minor. Some of the poskim bring a proof from a Gemara in Baba Basra. Darish Rava, my dechsev, those yudal, those two extra words, the two extra letters are, should not be there. My dechsev, birkas oved alai tovo v'lev almana arnin. Eof says that I gladden the heart of an almana, of a widow. So what does this mean? So birkas oved alai tovo, the bracha of the one who lost stuff should come to me. Melame shayogozo sada miyesomu mashpicha machzir alayhem. Right, Eof was Robin Hood. Right, he would steal a field from Yesomim, from orphans. He would improve it. He'd make it better. Then he'd return it to them.
He would steal something and return it.
He'd steal something, enhance, make the item better, and then give it back to the person it was stolen from. V'lev almana arnin, I will gladden the heart of the almana. So what that means is zakt. The Gemara, the Kohecha de Heva Almana de Lo Heva Nasvila, wherever there is a widow and no one wants to marry her, Heva Azo Shadashme Alai Ilova. Eov would go and he would put his name on her, but Heva Azo Nasvila, and then people would marry her. What does it mean that he put his name on her? So Rashi writes, Omer Shehi Krovaso. He would say that she's his relative. Oh, medaber ba lahasiyena. Right? Rashi has two explanations. One explanation is he would say that she's his relative. Or Eov would start speaking to her to marry her. And, right? Oh, if Eov is interested in her, obviously she's an impressive woman. So maybe the fellow thinks that he should be interested in her as well. Now, it's not clear what this Gemara means. Eov says, I gladden the hearts of the almana. What does that mean? So Rashi, the Yad Ramah, they both say that it means that Eov would create this false impression that the woman is his relative, etc. But is that permitted? Or is it a good thing? So when you look at this in context, like Robin Hood in halacha, does the halacha sanction stealing something from a person, improving it, and then giving it back? So that's Gemara in Bava Metzia Samach Aleph. The Gemara says that there's a iser of gozel amanas l'shalim skayar. Right? Gozel amanas l'mekat is iser. The Gemara says, I'm not allowed to steal something from you just to get you upset. You know, like kids sometimes do this. You know, the nenene kish kish game. Like you take something from somebody and like, all I want is to get a rise out of the person. Right? I'd say like, you know, people have probably done this, right? The Gemara says that's usher. And I'm not allowed to steal something in order to enhance that item and return it to you. So it could be that what Eov is doing is wrong. The Yad Ramah sounds like what he's doing is correct. In that shuv of Rav Asher Weiss, where he says you're allowed to lie a little bit for Shaduchim, he proves it from this episode with Eov. However, it could be that what Eov is doing is not proper. Additionally, if you turn over the page, you have the Rambam. The Rambam uses this idea of Lev Almana Aranin. He uses this pasuk to speak about how a person should give tzedakah. You shouldn't give tzedakah in a way that's all grumpy, etc. But rather, you should comfort the person, etc. when you give the tzedakah, and it says Lev Almana Aranin. So the Rambam is not quoting, the Rambam does not quote this Eov episode. If anything, he uses the pasuk for something very different. It could be that the Rambam holds that you're not allowed to lie, even a tiny lie, even, right? Right? What's Eov doing? He's saying, oh, she's my distant cousin, right? And therefore, people want to marry her because who doesn't want to be related to Eov? You get the impression that lying, at least for the Rambam, might be absolutely forbidden. You see this impression also, for some reason, the set of Rambam they have over here is incomplete. Let me just finish the thought. Mm-hmm. The Rambam talks about not lying in Hilchos Deos, in Parakei, which are halachos of a Talmud Chacham. Right? In other words, Talmidei Chacham should be scrupulously honest. Okay, got it. Right? The Hebrew National ad, right? We answer to higher authority. Okay, got it. But you get an impression for the Rambam that perhaps for others, lying is not so bad, perhaps. And if that's the case, maybe Lev Amana Aranin would refer to that, although the Rambam takes this Gemara a little differently. He says it refers to tzedakah. It's not talking about the Eov situation and the Almana. Yeah. Anna, you had a question?
So it's really just clarification. So Rambam says you can't lie at all because in Deos, but that's only for...
Rambam says Talmud Chacham should not lie.
Talmud Chacham, but then he said, he creates it tzedakah. How did he connect tzedakah to lying?
So again, I'm not sure. The last two sentences I was saying were in order to convey that I'm not sure exactly how the Rambam would end up on this question.
Okay.
Let's just go on very quickly. The Mira Rosh Yeshiva Reb Elia Baruch Finkel has a sefer on Chumash. He's the Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir, so he spends a lot of time talking about Shaduchim with his students. And he has in the back of the sefer a Kuntras HaShaduchim, and he speaks about how you're allowed to lie in Shaduchim. And he says, well, you see that from the Torah. The main parasha of Shaduchim is Parshas Chayisara in the Torah. And in Parshas Chayisara, we have all these differences between the way Eliezer Ever Avram, what actually happened, and the way it was relayed to Lavan and Besuel. So you see that for the purposes of a Shaduch, you're allowed to lie, providing it's within a certain range. I happen to think that honesty is the best policy. And lying is not a good idea. You certainly don't want to build and establish a relationship that's based on lies. However, I don't think you have to tell all the truth right at the beginning. That's a discussion that Rav Moshe Feinstein has many poskim say. Like, everyone has certain flaws in themselves. I don't know if you... It's probably not sound advice to reveal all those flaws right at the beginning. Yes. Well, again, the idea of dating is to get.
But you're not at that point yet. Like, it's just, let's say, it's the beginning.
So it's sort of an.
It's like stretching the line even more.
Yes.
It's just like, I don't know.
I don't like this idea. Like, to say that a person is, you know, beneath that 30-year-old cutoff or whatever, I don't think that's a good idea. I think it's a very bad idea, actually. But there are poskim who say it's okay. It's a real extension above what Beis Hillel says, right? Beis Hillel says, Kalanava Chasuda, they're already at the marriage, right? This is, right, months before the marriage. But yes. So, yeah, of course, but a lot of what we'll be talking about now is like this balancing act, right? On the one hand, you want to create trust. That's what I meant, I think, honesty is the best policy. I think the best way to enter a relationship is by creating trust, and to create trust based on something that is deception is not a good way to create trust. There might be a difference between something I say about myself and something other people say about me, where there's like plausible deniability. I don't know. I do think, like, the people call me about my students, you know, you don't have to say, you know, the guy never showed up all semester. I don't know if that's like a good idea. I could say, listen, I really don't know him well enough. He wasn't around enough for me to speak to him that often. Like, it doesn't, it, you know, it's the same type of thing. But, you know, yeah, you have to do things with a little bit of seichel. Okay. Let's just talk about the Gemara that says, Mutter l'shanos from Neha Shalom, Mitzvah l'shanos. There are three opinions in the Gemara. Reb Ilah says in the name of Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon, that it's Mutter l'shanos from Neha Shalom. It's permitted. Right, and the proof text is Psukim in Vayechi, Avicha Tziva Lefnei Moso. There's a section that begins Shalom. That's the Gemara in Yevam Mesamach. Hey,
thank you.
Yeah, the Gemara said, the pasuk says that the Shvatim turn to Yosef after Yaakov dies, and they say, "Oh, Daddy said that you should forgive us." Now, Daddy never said anything of that sort. Or we have no indication in the Chumash that Yaakov Avinu is telling the Shvatim, or Yaakov Avinu is saying that Yosef should forgive the Shvatim for the sale. You don't see that. You're allowed to lie. Mutar l'shan is mipnei ha-shalom. You're allowed to lie for peace. That's opinion one in the Gemara. Opinion two in the Gemara is not that it's mutter, but it's that it's a mitzvah l'shan is mipnei ha-shalom. That's the second line. Reb Nosson Omer, mitzvah. The basic story over there is that they are, Shaul is the king, and Shmuel is saying that they should go to the sons of Yishai and choose somebody, etc. Choose somebody as the next king. Excuse me. So the Navi says that what you should do is you should say, "Oh, I'm just taking a sheep," so Shaul won't suspect anything. That means that the Navi is saying to do this, so therefore it's a mitzvah to do it.
Say, "I'm just taking a sheep."
No, saying I'm taking a sheep to bring a carbon, so Shaul won't think that they're going to anoint a new king. He won't be suspicious. And for the sake of Shalom, it's a mitzvah to do it. So approach number one in the Gemara is that it's permitted. Approach two is that it's a mitzvah. Charlotte, you had a comment in the back?
I have a question. There are any addresses, but I thought, what if someone asks you a question and you lie because you don't want to do another mitzvah, like, let's say, because you don't want to have, like, oh, do you hear what happened in this community?
That fall under what mercy. So this is part of the question that we're discussing now. The Gemara says that it's either permitted to lie for shalom, or it's a mitzvah to lie, or then the third approach in the Gemara is that even Hashem lied for peace. Now, is this only for peace, or is this also for greater goods? Right? So in the case that you gave, it's not for shalom, but it is for some other valid religious purpose. So how broadly do I take shalom? That's one question that we'll address. The other question that I address, what's the term that the Gemara uses? Mutar? Lishanot. What's lishanot, neha shalom mean?
Change.
To change, to distort. What does the Gemara not say? Lishaker. It doesn't say to lie, it says to distort. The Aruch Lener comments that there is a difference between an outright lie and just a distortion. The Ritva in Yevamos Samechei has the same type of idea. They're going and they're saying, yeah, you know what? I have a sheep. I'm going for two reasons. I'm going, one reason is to anoint a king. The other reason that I'm going is to bring a carbon. So it's not an outright lie. You get the impression from this Aruch Lener and the Ritva that even for shalom, you should not do an outright lie. An outright lie is forbidden. What you could do is say things in a way, create a scenario in a way that it's not an outright lie, but it is kind of bending the truth, right? This is one way that we understood Kalamna of a Hasuda, right? You're not saying an outright lie. You're saying, yeah, she's virtuous, right? Everyone is virtuous to some extent. This is the approach that says that lying in the extreme sense is always forbidden. But even for shalom, when we say it's okay, says the Aruch Lener, what that means is mutar l'shanos b'neha shalom. Distorting is okay. Lying is forbidden. There's another Gemara. The Gemara Bava Metzia discusses an aveda. If I find a lost item, so the halach is I return the lost item with simanim. If you come and you say that, yeah, I know this item is mine because it has my name in the inside cover, right? It's mine. Or I say, I know the item is mine because like page 50 is like bent over, right? It's mine. That's, I give a simon. The halach is that for a Talmud Chacham, you can return a lost item even if the Talmud Chacham does not give a simon. The Talmud Chacham just says Tfiyas Ayin. The person just says, I really recognize it, it's mine. I don't return an item to a non-Talmud Chacham if the person says, I just recognize it. But for a Talmud Chacham, I say, I have Tfiyas Ayin, I just recognize it, so then you return the item. Now, question, how do you define a Talmud Chacham? And this is like a $1 million question. Right, how do you define a Talmud Chacham? So the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham is someone who does not lie. But the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Bahani Tzlas Mili Avidi Rabbanu Demshanu B'Milayu. There are three things that Talmidei Chachamim are Mishana. They change. Mesechta, Purya, Ushpiza. Right? Mesechta means that Rashi explains, they ask you, do you know a certain Masechta? So you should be humble. And you should say, no, I don't really know it. Purya means you stayed in someone's inn, let's say, and they ask you, is the person a good host? If you're going to say, the guy was the best host ever, you can say, best host ever. So what's going to happen is everyone's going to go, right, and go to that inn. And then, right, the person, it's going to hurt the landlord. Mesechta, Purya, and Ushpiza, right, these refer to the host, and the bed, etc. These are the mesechta, these are the situations that you're allowed to lie. If they ask you whether they were kind to you, whether they accepted, so they accepted you nicely, so in those situations you're allowed to lie. There are three cases. Tosis asks Akasha, there in Bava Metzia. Tosis asks, V'hadol chashev hacham mutal shanis mipnei darkei shalom. Tosis asks, why does the Gemara in Bava Metzia not invoke our principle that you're allowed to lie or distort for shalom, like the Gemara says in Yevamos? So Tosis answers, Dahani nami mishum darkei shalom hein. Taisa says that these cases on the Sechta Puryanus Biza, these cases are also Darkei Shalom. And these are just common cases. Now, what is the Chiddush that Taisa is saying? What's the idea that Taisa is bringing out, which is unusual, new? Adira? Labdafki's thing is anything, or to say what you're saying is a little twist, the word shalom does not only mean shalom, doesn't mean only peace, but even to say, they ask you, do you know this mesechta, right? You say, I don't know it, right? Which is to show humility. It's for some other religious positive value, but that is still okay. So Tosfos is taking a broader definition of shalom. Shalom means any religious purpose. The Nemuke Yosef is a commentary on the Rif, which I could not find on Safari, and my Bar Ilan is not working this morning. The Nemuke Yosef writes that the reason why the Gemara does not say because of shalom, the Nemuke Yosef says is, right, this Nemuke Yosef is not on the source sheets. Nemuke Yosef says, because for shalom, it's a mitzvah l'shanos. For these things, it's permitted, but it's not a mitzvah. But then Nemuke Yosef is accepting that opinion in the Gemara that there is an obligation to lie or to distort, whatever it is, for shalom. But what's it called? But the Gemara in Bava Metzia does not mention it, because the Gemara in Bava Metzia is only referring to cases where it's permitted, not where it's obligatory. The last source I have over here is the Chokas Mechokik. It's a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch and Eben HaEzer. The Chokas Mechokik says, in the context of Kalanah v'Chasuda, that you're still not allowed to say Sheker Gomor, but he just says Chasuda because everyone has a Chutcho Chesed Mashach Aleha. Everyone has a certain... it's something, some charm, something nice. Everyone has something nice. The Gemara in Nedarim actually has a story that somebody makes a neder, he takes a vow not to benefit from his wife because there's nothing good that she has. So one of the Tanoim, Amorim, excuse me, trying to be matched a neder, he says, well, maybe she does this well. Maybe she cooks well. Maybe she sews well. Maybe she's pretty, etc. Nothing. The guy's like, absolutely, there's no redeeming feature. Absolutely nothing. You have no idea why they got married. I don't know what's going on. But the point, there's absolutely nothing redeeming. So then the guy, then the Amora is trying to be Matthew the Nether. He says, what's her name? So the response is, her name is Lachluchas. Lachluchas is an Aramaic term for dirt. Right? So he says, oh, we found something nice. She has a nice name for the qualities that she has. That's a Gemara Nedarim in the nuns or something, in the middle of Nedarim. But the point is, I think, you know, we have three general approaches about lying, whether it is always permitted. I don't think that approach seems to get traction. The approach of the Uraim that lying is forbidden because it will hurt somebody. And the approach of the Charedim that you're never allowed to lie. And these approaches end up leading to different interpretations of that Gemara about Ketam Raktam of Nehakala. And it also could relate to how you understand Mutar L'Shanos of Nehashalom. If I take the Uraim's approach, if I say that the prohibition of lying is because I hurt you, so Mutar L'Shanos of Nehashalom makes a ton of sense.
because it's not going to hurt. It's going to help. So that's why it's okay. The conversations that we had to try to say Mutar Shanus with Meha Shalom, maybe that's because there's a balance between religious principles. On the one hand, Sheker is a bad principle. On the other hand, there are other religious principles. And which religious principle beats which principle? Is Anavar enough? Does it have to only be Shalom, etc.? That is coming from the approach, probably, that lying is not just because it will hurt you, but lying is inherently problematic. And we also discussed the distinction between lying and just being mishana, between lying and distorting, and that the approach of the Aruch Haner and the Ritva says lying in the sense of telling an absolute falsehood is always forbidden. When the Gemara says mutar shasut neha shalom, it means that you're allowed to change things a little bit, slightly distort. How much is a slight distortion? If you're asking me to come up with answers to these questions, I'm not giving you. But how much is a slight distortion, like in that Ramban language? What's considered the range? So it's not abundantly clear. And this is the topic about lying, etc. So when, let's say you're teaching and your students are bothered by how does Yaakov Avinu steal the Bechora and how does Yaakov Avinu lie? So it's actually more problematic, because in that case, even according to the Urayim, it would be a problem, no? Because that is stealing, that's lying, that will hurt somebody else. In the Shidduch context, it's also lying that could end up hurting, right? Financially, etc. You have to pay a shadchan, or it doesn't trickle out. You're supposed to pay a shadchan. Like, this isn't make-believe. So it could be that if you lie to make a shidduch, it's lying, right? It's lying to earn a profit, which is worse. The prohibition of lying probably applies to writing and to gesturing as well, assuming that there's a prohibition to lie. So this is some of the thoughts. Okay, Chevra, questions, comments, observations?
First of all, thank you so much. Very interesting. I just, maybe after I've asked questions, I just want to know who says what, because I was trying to write down the ideas.
And okay, yeah, so we can talk about it after. Yeah. Okay, yes.
So thank you.
Rivka.
So in regards to the Shlefanim or Shidduch Shir Esther, over COVID, then this year we were both on Zoom. And so my sister invited me to a Zoom Shir, given to, I think it was English, but from over here.
Okay.
On Shlefanim. Oh my God, that's Aria. And we were trying not to see, but we benefited from a share on Shlefanim.
Wow. In other words, you had like a different Zoom name or something? Right. So again, so this is another question. Is Mutar Shas Bnei HaShalom, is it only for peace? Over here, there's another religious value to learn Torah. Tosfos would say that Shalom is broadly defined, right? So it would be okay in order to lie to attend some shir. It's a good story, Zakaria. Okay. Okay. Okay, Chevra, thank you for joining and learning together. And you should tell the truth.
Amen. Thank you.